15. I found a pen on our property. It might have to be a finder's keeper's sort of pen. But if anyone did lose a pen, a sharp pen with a really... tis. Oh, okay. Do you happen to know the serial number on it? There is no serial number on it, but anyway. Oh, I was enjoying it for the whole week. It was on our property, though, so... Now I have a whole pack of pens, so anyway. Okay, let's turn to Romans chapter 15, please. Romans chapter 15. We're going to, when you find your place, if you're able to, we'll stand for the reading of God's Word, and we'll read verses 20 through 33. So 20 through the end of the chapter. Romans 15, 20 through 33. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. For as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go into Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles had been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them carnal things. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come to you into Spain. Sorry, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the gospel of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you for this passage of Scripture. Lord, we thank you for the Apostle Paul's zeal towards those that had never heard the gospel. Lord, we pray that you would help us to have a zeal towards these same people. Lord, we pray now also that for some of our missionaries. We think of the Wah family out there in Quebec doing a great work there. And we thank you for, Lord, the ministry there is tried and true. It's not flash in the pan. He's been working at it diligently for some time now. And we thank you that he's not growing tired. He's not growing disillusioned. But that yet, Lord, he's going with a great pace and exceedingly busy and about the works of the Lord. We pray that you bless him and that ministry and his family. Lord, we lift up the Tebow family right now, particularly Brother Ty with this illness. We ask that you give the doctors wisdom, Lord, that you might put a doctor in his path that has experience with this, that can do the right tests and can give the right medications and treatment. We ask, Lord, that you would sustain him according to your will, Lord, that you would we ask it according to your will, whatever is to happen, and that of his family, Lord, we ask there too, Lord, if it be your will, Lord, that you would keep them from getting this disease and strengthen them and lift them up, protect them, we pray. Ask that you'd help them to meet all their financial needs with this new problem. Lord, we ask that you'd help us as we dig into your word now, in Jesus' name, amen. I think you may be seated. So we're picking it up in verse 20. And the Apostle Paul here speaks about basically pioneering in places where people have never heard the gospel. They've never heard about Jesus. He says here, yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. And that might cause us to scratch our heads and say, well, why would that be a problem to build upon another man's foundation? It all depends on what the Lord has called a person to do. The Lord has called certain people to be church planters, to go into communities where they have never heard the gospel, and to witness. about about Jesus Christ coming and dying for our sins, and witnessing about our fallen nature, our need of salvation, and telling the way of salvation through Jesus Christ. But then there are other places where Christ has been preached. You know, Christ has been preached here in Kamloops. You know, I think of this verse as far as myself. You know, we'll have missionaries come through, and they'll look at this building and they'll say, "Wow, the Lord's really blessed you folks here." And you know, they'll ask me a little bit about it, and I'll say, "Well, it was bought, you know, a while back in '96, and paid for even before I got here." I say, you know, I stepped into another man's labors, and you know what? I don't have a problem with it. I give credit to the Lord and to, you know, to Pastor Horton and the folks here that have been with this church so long. And but it doesn't upset me that I am building upon another man's foundation, because God calls some people to fill in to go into the gap when someone leaves or passes on, and that's part of the ministry. But then there is, God calls some people, and the Apostle Paul in particular, to be a pioneer and to go out into places that had not heard the gospel. And then he would often send Timothy or Titus to the places where he had established a church to strengthen them. And so they were stepping into another man's labors. So there's nothing wrong with it. It's just a matter of what the Lord has called a person to do. And so missionaries have to decide, you know, they have to determine what God's will is for them. Are they to be church planters? Are they to go into communities where there is not an active witness, where there is no church? Or sometimes there'll be an opportunity that'll come up when there's an established church and the pastor has to retire. You know, they have to determine if it's God's will for them to take that work and to step into an established ministry. But God had given the Apostle Paul this ministry to go where the gospel had not been preached. So he's going to preach in virgin territory, so to speak. Verse 21 says, "But as is written, to whom he was spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand." Well, that's prophecy from Isaiah 52:15. This speaks about going to places where he was not spoken of, and particularly the Gentiles. The Apostle Paul being the one apostle that was given that ministry towards the Gentiles. And we know that the Apostle Peter also had you know, the Lord used him to reach Cornelius and others, but the Apostle Paul was particularly directed towards the Gentiles. So he is quoting here from Isaiah 52:15, which reads, "So shall he sprinkle among many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them they shall see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider." The Gentiles had not seen, had not heard the gospel. And so the Apostle Paul was fulfilling this, and he was going to give the gospel in those places and to those peoples that had never heard the gospel. And you know, even just locally, you know, we should be looking for people that have never heard the gospel. And it's amazing, you know, how many people in Canada, a country that has had a Christian influence — we cannot say that it's had a Christian foundation as the United States has had, but it certainly had a Christian influence. But it's sad in this country to see people that they've got no clue. They've never heard the gospel. They've never heard that they are sinners. They've never heard that because of their sin, they're condemned to hell. They've never heard that Jesus Christ is the only way, and if they repent of their sin, put their trust in Christ, that they will have a home in heaven. We need to give that. Need to give them the gospel and tell them the good news of salvation. So to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. So fulfilling that prophecy from Isaiah 52. You notice there in verse 22 now how busy the Apostle Paul has been. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. Now, you have to remember the context here. He's talking verse 20 on down, and he's talking about preaching the gospel to these that have never heard. And then in verse 22 he says, for which cause I've been hindered. He says, I have been so busy preaching the gospel that I have not had the opportunity to come to you yet. So he's always keeping busy. And that's what the believer should be doing too, right? We should be keeping busy in the work of the ministry, always finding somebody to witness to, always finding someone to encourage. And we know that sometimes people will lean on the arm of the flesh, and they'll go into areas and do things that they think are good ministries, and the Lord actually never opened that path for them, and then they get burnt out. So this busyness has to be one that's done in with God's sanction and His power and His provision. So always keeping busy. I think of our missionary, the Alice's, you know, that last newsletter that we just had, talking about putting in 70-hour weeks, you know. That's pretty busy. That's pretty busy, isn't it? When we think about, you know, a normal work week is 40 hours, and it's nearly double that. And so being very busy in the things of the Lord. So here he says, I would come to you, but I've been hindered because of this. But in verse 23, we read here, but now having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you. So he was moving on. As areas were reached with the gospel, he was moving on. And, you know, we believe that he reached many, many places in Europe, in Asia, and even very likely into Great Britain. So he was always moving and preaching the gospel. Verses 23 down to 32, you read about the areas where he wants to have future ministry. In verses 23 and 24, he is talking here to the Romans. So he has a great desire, we see in verse 23, to come unto them. In verse 24, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. For I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. So he wants to spend some time with them, be filled with their company. He then wants to move. Jumping down here, we can see in verse 29 also, and I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. So he was going to come in the will of God, which we see later in the passage. But also, with coming in the will of God, he was going to bring the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. He was going to preach the full counsel of God, the full blessings. And he hoped and prayed that he would bring a blessing to this church. And when we have special speakers, we have missionaries come through, I seek to be blessed by them, to be convicted by them. And, you know, I mentioned the other week, I think about a week and a half ago, about how I saw Brother Waugh stuffing a tract in an elevator door or in a little crevice there for someone else. And that blessed me. I was like, yeah, I wish I had thought of that. Wish I had my track in my pocket all ready to go. But, you know, that blessed me. And we should be look to be blessed and convicted by others, that other servants of the Lord that he brings into our path. We also see that he was going to come by the will of God. He says, verse 32, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. We see times in the Apostle Paul's life where he was endeavoring to go into certain places, and yet the Lord prevented him. The Lord had other places for him to go. And there are times in our life when we say, oh man, there's such a need here. I want to go there. You know, and to give one example that some of you already know is, you know, when we came through here the first time, well, I came through here. I came with my parents in 2007, and we were on our way to, I'd never been in Kamloops, ever. Just vaguely heard the name before by someone that was a downhill skier and would always come to Kamloops to go to Sun Peaks. And we were stopping in Kamloops to spend the night with the Hortons and then move on Monday morning down to the coast for the Preacher's Fellowship there. And I'd never met the Hortons, but my parents had. Many of you know the church here had supported my parents when they were down in Mexico as missionaries. So I met Pastor Horton, and, you know, he asked my dad, so, you ever consider moving to BC? I need someone to replace me in the ministry. He said, I've got these medical problems. Went through his list. And Dad said, well, as far as I know, the Lord's got me here right now anyway. And then he turned to me, what about you? And I said, well, I'm open to whatever the Lord would have me do, but my heart is really towards starting a church in the community of St. Albert, just north of Edmonton. And, you know, that community, at that time I had a population of about 63,000. The community had no solid Bible-believing church preaching the gospel there. And so my heart was for that community, and still is for that community, to see someone go there, to see it reached. But that was not the Lord's will for me. Even though, I mean, I was doing some work as a chaplain, volunteering in the hospital, or trying to get inroads into the community. I would strap on my rollerblades and drive up there, and not with my rollerblades on. Make sure we got the order right here. Drive up there and put my... I'd rollerblade around the town in these paths that they have there, praying about the Lord's will, if it be the Lord's will, just really seeking the Lord's will. Because, you know, there was a city that had not been reached. You know, the gospel had not been preached. And the Lord, it wasn't the Lord's will for me to go there. Someday, hopefully, it will be the Lord's will for someone to go there and to preach the gospel. But as of yet, there is no Bible-believing church preaching there. Whatever the Lord's will is, right? And so I'm thankful too. So the Apostle Paul had this. There's sometimes where he wanted to go somewhere, and he was aiming that direction, but the Lord said, "No, I've got somewhere else for you to go. I've got something else for you to do." And so he's also talking about going to Spain. We read in verse 24, "Whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you." Also, we read in verse 28. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them of this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. Then he also talks about going to Jerusalem in verses 25. Imagine this, the days before cars, the days before planes, trains. Here he is. He's bringing the gospel all over the place. And he talks about verses 25 through 28. About Jerusalem. But now I go into Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. Wherefore, when therefore I have performed this, and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. He's talking about his ministry there, going to Jerusalem. And we, in some of those verses that we just read, verses 26 through 28, we see about his ministry of giving. And not only was he giving himself his time, most likely he was giving by example where he was encouraging churches, but he was also putting his money into that as well. We see that he was encouraging other churches to give. You know, he's those of Macedonia and Achaia are contributing to the churches in Jerusalem that had financial need. We can take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. We see some of his exhortation. As you go through Scripture, you sometimes will see the Apostle Paul sometimes kind of pitting churches against each other in a good way. You know, sometimes you'll see every year the SPCA here has a competition with the SPCA in Prince George for their fundraising. I think last year PG won, and I think this year we won, if I got my facts right. But anyway, it's a healthy competition, and we see that with the Apostle Paul trying to encourage the churches to give. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1, we read, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem." So he's collecting money. We also see it in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, collecting money for those needy in Jerusalem. And you also notice the emphasis here. He says, you owe these. You're debtors. It's interesting how we're debtors to each other. Last week we looked at being subject one to another. Here, he's saying, I am a debtor to the Gentiles to give them the gospel. And then he's saying to the Gentiles, you are debtors to the believers in Jerusalem. Because if they hadn't preached the gospel, if the gospel had not come to them and they had not dispersed it, you would not have the good news of salvation. And you're debtors to them. And so he points out that they should be filling this need. And, you know, we should also always be looking for people in our lives that we need to fill their needs, people that have been faithful in ministry, both here and in other ministries. We read in Philippians chapter 4, about the sacrifices that the church of Philippi had given to the Apostle Paul. And we see an interesting point here is that they didn't give out of their liberality. They gave sacrificially. And sometimes there are times when we have to give sacrificially where we give, even though it's like, well, you know, I plan to use that money for this or for that. The Lord just lays it upon our heart. I've given the example of Hudson Taylor the one time when he had one coin in his pocket. And he's brought by a father and a husband to what appears to be the deathbed of this man's wife, and you know, Hudson Taylor starts praying with him, and the Holy Spirit smites him in the heart and says, you know, you've got something in your pocket that you could help them with, and you're asking me to help them, and he kind of, his prayer sort of broke down because he felt so guilty. And as he's getting ready to leave, the man says, you know, if there's anything you could do to help us, it would certainly be appreciated. And, you know, he's saying in his mind, well, boy, if I'd had this large coin broken down, you know, and smaller, I could give him a smaller amount. Because that's my breakfast for tomorrow. And finally, he just gave the man the coin and went home and said, well, I guess we'll see what happens. And the Lord provided the next day far more than he'd given, provided for his needs. So let's take a look at Philippians chapter 4. Verses I'm going to start with verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. He's speaking about giving in his time of extremity, his time of need, giving funds or giving necessities of life. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving. No other church gave to him, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift. He says, it's not for me. I don't desire it. But I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full and have received of Epaphroditus from the church there at Philippi, the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing unto God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That shows us that they were giving sacrificially. That the Apostle Paul knew it. They had given to him sacrificially. It wasn't out of an abundance of wealth. They had given sacrificially. Okay, well, let's close the word of prayer. We're out of time. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for the testimony we read here about the Apostle Paul. Lord, serving faithfully and in the ministry that you called him to do, particularly geared towards areas that had not heard the gospel of Christ. And yet we do see sometimes, like in the case of Rome here, where he was reaching out to people that had already heard the gospel and responded to it. But Lord, we pray that each one of us would fulfill your ministry in our hearts and lives. Lord, as we see the faithfulness of the churches in Macedonia and Achaia and also Philippi, meeting the Apostle Paul's needs and those other two churches meeting the needs in Jerusalem, Lord, we ask that you'd help us to be faithful in meeting the needs of those in our midst and those faithful servants. Lord, we pray that you would bless the morning worship service to follow here, Lord, that we would get a special blessing out of your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.